The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Ekev. In the Parsha by Sheni, which is Dvorim Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph, after the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us into Eretz Yisrael and into such a wonderful land, a land which will have everything. And you will eat and you will be satisfied and you will bless Hashem Elokecho al Oretz HaTova Asher Nosan Loch, and the good land which He has given to you, Hishom Elokecho. Then the Torah states, Hishom Elokecho, guard yourself carefully. Pentishkach es Hashem Elokecho, lest you forget the Lord your God. That you should not forget to guard the commandments, all of the commandments and the statutes which I am commanding you today. Pentechal v'savota, lest you will eat and you will be satisfied. Votim tevim tivneve yoshofto, and you will build beautiful homes and you will live in them. Uvekorcha v'tzeincha yirbiyun, and you will gather up herds of cattle and sheep. And you will have gathered up much silver and gold, and everything that you will have much of. And you will become haughty, you will become arrogant. You have so much and everything is so good, you will become arrogant. And you will forget the Lord your God who has taken you out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. And then the Torah goes on to tell us that the one who has taken you through this great desert, and this desert where there was no water, and there were serpents and scorpions, and who has brought you up against great nations that you conquered, and you will say, Kechi ve'itzim yodi osoli esachayel hazeh, that it was my own strength, it was my own hands that made all of this great wealth. So the Torah tells us, Yishom recho, you shall guard yourself, pentishkach, lest you forget the facts, lest you forget the mitzvahs of Hashem. V'zocharta es Hashem elekecho, you shall remember the Lord your God, because Hu Hanesin L'chokeach Lasu Yischoel, He is the one who gives you strength to make great wealth. All of this wealth you did not create. L'man Hokim Es Brisa Shenishba L'Aviseha Kayim Hazeh, in order to establish His covenant which I have sworn to your fathers, and on this day. So the Torah is telling us that we must be careful not to forget. And we must be careful that we should not become rom levavecho, arrogant. The Gemara in Masechet Seter learns a halacha from these psukim. Not only a halacha, but a leisas, a negative commandment. One of the 613 commandments of the Torah. The Gemara brings and say to Daf Hey, Azora legasei ruach minayim. How do we know there's a prohibition against a Jew being arrogant? So first, the Gemara wants to bring a posuk from Yirmiyahu, Shimu vazinu al tagbu al tigbohu. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok omar meocha. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok said, no, you don't have to go to the Nach, to the Nevim. We have an explicit commandment in the Torah. And he quotes our psukim. It states, V'rom levavecho, b'shochachto, that when a person will become arrogant, he will forget. So Rashi explains from here, we see that Reimem es Halev, arrogance and haughtiness brings one to forgetting, forgetfulness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uksiv, and it's written before that, Hishom elecho pentishkach es Hashem elekecho, guard yourselves lest you forget Hashem. And we have learned kol mokum shenemar hishom pan ve'al eina ela b'leisase. Wherever it states in the Torah hishomer or pen or al, this is a negative commandment. So we see when the Torah is telling us hishom elacho pen tishkach, guard yourself that you shall not forget. It's a negative commandment. And what is it referring specifically to? V'rom levavcho, v'rom levavcho, v'shachachto. Lest you become arrogant, which will bring you to forgetfulness. This is a very great chidush, a very important fact that the Torah is telling us. This means that if a Jew becomes arrogant, he transgresses a negative commandment. That would be perhaps worse than not putting on tefillin. Because not putting on tefillin is a positive commandment. This is a negative commandment. That would be similar to eating nevelis and treifas. A Jew becomes arrogant, transgresses a negative commandment. Because the Torah said, Yishom elecho, guard yourself, pen tishkach, lest you forget. This mitzvah, the smag is the sefer mitzvahs HaGodol, one of the Rishonim, that lists all of the 613 mitzvahs. So he counts this in Leisa Aser Samach Dalet. Counts this as one of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. And interestingly, the Chofetz Chaim Zochein Levracha brings that in the Hagdoma of the Smag, in the preface of the Smag, he writes on himself that he wasn't thinking perhaps of counting this as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Until Sheromaz le'alav ze min ha-shomayim shalei yishkach milam neisei. That mishomayim, from heaven, came to him an inference, a remis, some type of clue, of indication that he should not forget to count this. This is what the Sefer HaMitzvahs Godel writes on himself. So we see that this is a leis Hashem shebeteira, an isur d'oraisa, a negative commandment for a Jew to be misgoya, for a Jew to become arrogant. A second thing that we see, not only is it a negative commandment, but it's a very, very serious commandment. Because the Gemara in Masechta Seita, on Daf Dalet and on Daf Hei, says many things in regards to the Gasei Ruach, regards to those people who are arrogant. We don't have time to mention everything the Gemara says. We'll mention a few things. Omer Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yechoi. Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yechai, Kol odem sheyesh begasas haruach ki lo eivir averis kochovim. A person who is arrogant is as if he's worshipping averis kochovim. It's as if he's worshipping idolatry. Why? Because Shleim HaMelech, King Solomon, said in Mishlei, Tezayin, to Abbas Hashem kol givalev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates someone who is arrogant. The word te'eva is a word which means hatred to the greatest degree, an abomination. And Shleim HaMelech used this word in regards to the Gasei HaRuach, in regards to the arrogant. To Abbas Hashem kol givalev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates to the nth degree a person who is arrogant. And this word is used in limited places. It's also used by idolatry, as it states, Leisovita Eval Mesecha, the idol, or that which was worshipped, you should not bring into your house. And it's referred to as a Te'eva, as something which is hated, sonui, and something which is abominable. Since the Torah uses the same term for both, so the Shimon Yechoi darshan, he expounded, that this equates the two. Someone who's arrogant is as if he's worshipping idolatry. Rabbi Yochanan himself said, "Ki lekof har biker," as if he's denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it states in our posuk, he will become arrogant in his heart and he will forget the Almighty. Then the Gemara brings, "Ki lebona boma," someone who is arrogant, is as if he's building a boma. A boma was an altar which Jews were forbidden to build once they came into Yerushalayim. They came to Yerushalayim, and there they built the Beis HaMikdash. So the only place they were allowed to bring sacrifices was on the altar of the Beis HaMikdash. And the boma, private altars, were not allowed. So the Gemara darshans that a person who is arrogant is as if he's building a boma. Then the Gemara brings, "Kol odem sheish begasei ruach lebeseif nitzol beishishish." A person who is arrogant, eventually he will be trapped. Eventually he will stumble on the great prohibition of adultery. The Gemara brings also, "Kol odem sheish begasei ruach omer blazer ein afore ninar." An arrogant person, after he dies, his dust will not be moved when it comes time for Tchias HaMesim, for the reliving of the dead. Because it states, "Hakitzu verananu sheikhnei ofor." Those who dwell in the dust should get up. This refers to the Tchias HaMesim. "Shivchei be'ofor le'ne'amar ele sheikhnei ofor." Doesn't say those who lie in the dust. Those who lived in the dust. Those who lived in the dust during their lives, which means they were humble, they are the ones who will be commanded to get up in the Tchias HaMesim, at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give life again to all who are dead. But does not say those who lie in the dust after their death, but those who lived in the dust during their life. Then the Gemara brings, "Kol mi sheyesh le gasei ruach," whoever is arrogant, "ki ilu shebo al kol harayis," is as if he committed acts of adultery and incest with all of the relationships that the Torah has forbade. Then the Gemara brings, "Kol odem sheyesh be gasei ruach o ma'akorish borchu ein ani v'hu yechelin ledor ba'ilam." Whoever is arrogant, the Almighty says that I and he cannot live in the same world. So these are some of the statements that the Chazal make in regards to arrogance and naughtiness. And very, very serious statements. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos that when it comes to this particular quality, we find an exception to a great rule. Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos in Perek Aleph that the Jew is always obligated never to go to an extreme. He must always look for the middle path. He should be moderate when it comes to all of the qualities. For example, he shouldn't spend all of his money. On the other hand, he shouldn't be the type that never spends anything. He shouldn't be someone that is always laughing and gay to the point where there's no seriousness. On the other hand, he shouldn't be too serious to the point where he's so serious, he's always heavy, and he's near depression. But he should be besimcha. The Rambam goes through all of the qualities. And a Jew is obligated, "Umbatsuvin onu leleches bedrochim ha'ele ha'beinanim," that we are obligated to walk in the middle path. "Ve'heim hatovim v'yeshorim," and these are the good, upright ways. "Shenema v'holachta bidrochim," and these are the ways of the Almighty, as it states that you shall walk in His ways. Then the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, brings that there are two exceptions to this great principle. And one
is arrogance. Yeshdeyes sho osel leila adam linek behen bebeinanis al yisrachik min akotzo echor ad akotzer acher. There are some qualities that a Jew is not allowed to walk in the middle path, but he must go to the opposite extreme. Vugeva leiv, and this is arrogance and conceit. Shein derech hatev shiya adam onav bilvad. It's not sufficient that a person will be merely humble, but he's obligated. He should be humble and greatly humble. And that's why it states by Meisher Rabbeinu, Onof mi'od, v'lei ne'amar onof bilvad. By Meisher Rabbeinu, the Torah says that Onof mi'kol ish apnei adoma. But it doesn't say he was onof, he was modest. It says onof mi'od, he was very, very humble. Now, this was a praise. If we say a person is never supposed to go to an extreme, so what kind of praise is this? So what do we see from here? That when it comes to this quality, one is obligated to go to an extreme. Lefichoch, therefore, tzivu chachomim, our sages commanded us, mi'oid mi'oid havishfal ruach, that a person is obligated to be humble and to have humility to the greatest degree. And then he brings from some of our Gemaras that you call a magbia liba, is someone who is arrogant, kofar biker. It's as if he's denying the Almighty. And Bishamto, the Gemara says, someone who has gasis ruach, arrogance, he should be put into cherem, he should be excommunicated. So we see further that it's a negative commandment, minatora. It's not just another commandment, but it carries very, very severe consequences with it, like we've cited. And also, it's different than all of the other qualities, where by all other qualities we're obligated to take a moderate stance. Here we're obligated to take an extreme stance, where a person should be mi'od mi'od, very, very humble, to have great humility. It's important also to know, the Chofetz Chaim Zochein Levrocha, in his Sefer Chofetz Chaim, which is a classic, that's the Sefer that he wrote in regards to Lashon Hara, that a Jew is not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, slander another Jew, or even make remarks against him, negative remarks, or even negative indications, unless it's in a place where he's justified in doing this. And on this he has many, many halachos. When is one justified? When is one allowed? See, he counts that a Jew that speaks Lashon Hara is likely to be able to transgress 17 negative commandments. That's not counting 14 positive commandments, and also bringing himself into Dalet Arurim, four klolis, four curses. Amongst the 17 negative commandments that he brings this commandment. In his psicho, to the Lavin, the fifth lav, Oshei, the even nami amasapel loshen hor belav di shomer pen tishkach es Hashem lekecho. That when someone speaks loshen hor about his friend, so he transgresses this negative commandment, shuazor legasi aruch, which is a prohibition for one becoming arrogant. Why? Kiven shu maligu misleitzitz al chaverei, because since he is coughing, he's coughing and criticizing and making fun of his chaver. So probably he considers himself, his own self, as a very wise person, and as a very important man. Because Because if he would recognize his own shortcomings, then he wouldn't go around talking about other people's shortcomings. So therefore, it's the tendency of the Bali Loshon Hora, of those who constantly stab. The Gemara says, Loshon Hora is people who to their face, they act as friends. But then they claim, Bicharbe Shibleshenes, with the sword of their tongues, they stab him in the back. A person should know that besides everything else that's related to Loshon Hora, it's a very, very cowardly act. Even amongst, they say there's no honor amongst thieves, but even amongst the bandits and the criminals of old time, they always had an honor that you never shoot a man in his back. This was considered at least a degree of honor amongst thieves and amongst criminals. The Gemara says, when someone speaks Loshon Hora on someone else, that's Deikrim Bicharbe Sehem Shalishenis. They're taking swords, the swords of their tongues, and they're stabbing their chaver in their back. And that's why the Torah says that one of the klolim, one of the curses that the Chofetz Chaim lists, is because Oru Eseish Asher Make Esre'ehu B'Seisr. Cursed is the one who strikes his friend B'Seisr secretly. And the Gemara says this refers to Loshon Hora. So besides everything else, we must realize that this is a very, very cowardly act. And since the person is talking, is downriding someone else, and criticizing someone else, if he also was not much better than the other fellow, he would keep his mouth shut. Because the Gemara says that nobody likes to talk about shortcomings that they have themselves. So the Chofetz Chaim says, therefore it must be that at that moment, he doesn't see these shortcomings in himself. So he's machshiv es atzmo, he considers himself a chochem, a very wise person, or ish ba'anoshim, a very important man. And this is gasei haruach, this is gaiva, this is arrogance. So he counts amongst the transgressions the commandment, the prohibition of gaiva. And then he writes, V'yodua maimer razal. He says it's known what the Chazal tell us, and he brings the Gemara, we cite it. She'oven ha-gaiva kosha ad mi'oid. But the aveira of gaiva is very, very severe. And he cites some of the things that we mentioned. He says someone who is mizgoya, he won't rise up at the tkiyas ha-mesim, at the resurrection of the dead. It's as if he worships idols. He brings the shechina me'al eles olav. The shechina weeps, the Kodesh Baruch Hu weeps. And it's Nikra Ta'eva, he's called hated and abominable. And then he adds another point. He says, if during the time of the Loshon Hora he actually is mischabed beklein chaveroi by downriding his chaver, so he uses that as a lever where he can take covet, he can take honor from that, to show how much better he is, he says, then it becomes even more serious. That's a miskabit biklein chaveri. But the Gemara says that you're not allowed ever to exploit the downfall of your friend for your own honor. And the Gemara says, and that he brings a miskabit biklein chaveri in lechel kalei lamabo. Someone who exploits the downfall of his friend for his own honor, he loses his chelik in the world to come. Cholila, heaven forbid. But we see from here that we're dealing with serious, very serious, serious prohibitions. So, it's an iser min hatorah, a leis aser, and a very serious one. If we were to define this, what does it mean, arrogance? What does it mean, haughtiness or conceit? See, how would one define it? The Maral Mipra goes into this with great depth in his Nesiva Hanova. And he writes, the Nekudas Hagaiva, the main point of arrogance, is the individual who has his nasus ala acherim, someone who uplifts himself above others, either entirely or partially. He uplifts himself above others, separates himself from others. And his enemies chaverim acherim, in this way he does not identify totally with others. His enemy shtatef im acherim, doesn't totally participate with others, either in a prat, in a certain aspect, or in many protim, in many aspects, or maybe totally. He divides himself, he separates himself, he places himself higher than others. Ve'enam ischaber ele el atzme. And he only identifies with himself. This is arrogance. This is the gaiva. With this definition, there are many, many of the chazals, of the statements of the chazals that we read, that come to light. What is meant by that? As he explains. The Gemara says it's kilo bono bono boma latzme. It's as if a person builds a boma, he builds an altar for himself. Why did the Torah forbid people to build altars for themselves? Because when they came into Eretz Yisrael and they had Yerushalayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu said there should be one place where all of Yisrael should come to. One place where they should serve me. Mizbeach Echod, one Mizbeach, Kein Godel Echod, one high priest. And not that everyone serves his own way. Kol Echod ve'echod bein boma l'atzmei. And the word boma, which also the word bima comes from the word height, something which is high. The one who's not misgoya, who's not arrogant, he identifies with everyone. He's mishtatef, he participates with everyone. But the one who is misgoya, so he elevates himself above everyone else and does not identify with everyone. So therefore the Gemara says, Kilo bona boma. It's as if he's built a boma. He separated himself and he has built his own altar. The Maral goes on to explain a very deep concept in the midah of gaiva. We're accustomed usually to think that this is a quality that has to do with a mentality or an emotional quality. He says that basically this is a physical quality. The characteristic of arrogance is very closely attached to physical qualities. Why? Because the one who becomes arrogant, who has elevated himself above others, and does not identify with others or participate with others, he is creating a gvul v'geder, a tzimtzum. He is creating a limitation in himself. He is creating boundaries for himself by dividing himself from others. He has separated himself from others. And this creates restrictions and limitations. Now, all of these things that we mentioned, limitations, restrictions, boundaries, these are all something which are only a fey and peculiar to the physical world, not to the spiritual world. Because something of the physical world that's made of physical matter, therefore it must have a beginning, it must have an end. It must have, therefore, a limitation. It must have a measure. But something which belongs to the spiritual world is endless. It has no measure. It has no restriction or limitation. So the one who's misgoya, who's arrogant, and he raises himself above others, and he loses identity with others, whether in an aspect or aspects, this is something which is closely related to the physical element of man, not to the emotional or to the spiritual element of man. And this is why we find that nations that indulge greatly in the physical world, in the physical pleasures, were very arrogant nations. Arrogance was found very strongly, the Gemara says, by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians. He was so arrogant where he said that I will go to war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was with all of his wealth. Arrogance was found very greatly with Esav and the Romans. The Romans were known for their nobility and aristocracy and their great class distinction between the nobility and the slaves. And at the same time, where they were so indulgent in the tremendous luxuries of their world. And this same lifestyle followed through to their heirs, to many of the great European nations, to the French, that was before the revolution, to the English, where the English were known and still are known for their great arrogance and class distinction, and at the same time their indulgence in the luxuries of the world. From here we understand now what the Gemara says, that kikefer biker, the arrogant is as if they deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when a person is not arrogant, when a person is humble, so then he considers himself beneath the reign of the melech, of the king. And he becomes, he's misbatel atzmo. He becomes part of the Almighty. He bows to the Almighty, he becomes part of the Almighty. Identifies totally with the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, with the King of Kings. But if a person is arrogant and divides himself from others, elevates himself, and he cannot identify and become subjected to the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so are they a kefir biker? It's as if he's denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like our psukim say, v'rom levovcho v'shochachto. He will become haughty and he'll forget. Also from here, he explains what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that someone who is arrogant, it's as if ki'ilu bo'al kol harayis. It's as if he is transgressing all of the prohibitions of kol ha'arayis, of all of the forbidden unions that the Torah forbade. Now this is a very deep concept that we're speaking about, because the prohibition of adultery or of incest, those that the Torah gave, those are directly linked to the physical powers of man. Those are known as the Aveiros Shebeguf. They're the transgressions of the physical power of man. They don't come from the mind and they don't come from the emotions, but they come from the physical man, like we've explained many times, with many, many sources. And therefore, someone who has this quality of arrogance, and this means that there is a strong surge of physical powers in the man, the end will be, it's as if he has transgressed kol ha'arayos, all of the prohibitions of the adultery and incest. Also with this, something that the Rambam teaches us has additional light. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, where he's instructing, if someone wants to be zeche to Keser Torah, someone wants to gain the crown of Torah, which is the greatest crown that Israel was given. So he's giving instruction what one must do. So he says a person must be humble. In the Mishnah Masechta Ovis, which writes of the Memches Devorim Sha'atere Niknes Bohem, that it takes 48 qualities in man in order to acquire Torah. One of them is Anova. He must have humility. So the Rambam writes, Divreitere Nimshlu Kemayim, brings from the Gemara, Torah is similar to water. As it states, Kol Somei Lechu Lemayim, whoever is thirsty, let him go drink the waters of Torah. Now what is this teaching us? So the Gemara tells us, water has a specific nature. Wherever you put water, it will try to go down. If you'll take earth and put it on a hill, it'll stay there, unless the force of gravity is too much against it. If you'll take a stone and put it on a hill, it will stay there. If you take a tree and put it on a hill, it will stay there. But water will not. The nature of water is that it always tries to go to the lowest point. And so is Torah. Torah always tries to go to the lowest point. What does this mean? That Torah will not be found, belave kol gavalev. It will not be found by the arrogant. They're too high up. But they'll be found by those who are shfal ruach, those who are humble. Those who will sit in the dust of the wise. They will sit in the dust of the feet of the wise. If they'll do that, then the Torah will come down to them. If they won't do that, then the Rambam says they won't be zeichet to keser Torah. Because Torah is like water. Did you ever see water flowing up a mountain? That you've never seen. Water flows down a mountain. If a person sits in the dust of the feet of the wise, the Torah will flow down to him. If he's arrogant and he stands up too high, Torah will not flow up to him. And then the Rambam brings, Umeser atavus v'tanugi hazman b'libay. And he will remove the luxuries and the joys of the time from his heart. Now we could ask the question. The Rambam starts by speaking about humility, and he ends up about speaking that a person shouldn't indulge in too many physical enjoyments. Both of these are not related, they shouldn't be in the same halacha. So the Rambam's telling us the same principle. Arrogance is related. It's strongly related to an overly physical indulgence, an overindulgence in the physical world. Because arrogance stems from a quality of the physical power of man, like we mentioned. Humility, humbleness, this is the opposite of indulgence in the physical world. And therefore, if a person must be humble, he also has to know that he shouldn't overindulge in the tanuge hazman, in the great enjoyments of the time, in the physical luxuries of the time. If he's indulging in the physical luxuries of the time, This is very close to arrogance. Second thing that we learn from here, from these Gemaras that the Rambam's quoting, that if this is the nature of Torah, if Torah is like water, and water tries to flow down, if this is the nature of Torah, then it means that Torah is the complete antithesis, the complete opposite of arrogance, of gasei ruach. So someone who's gasei ruach will never have Torah. And that's what the sages tell us. Lebi gasei haruachi, leba shvamayim hi. Torah is not found in heavens, by gasei haruach, by the arrogance who hold their heads in the heavens. This is contrary to Torah. And the reason for this is what we mentioned. Because this is a physical quality. Arrogance is a physical quality, while Torah is a completely spiritual quality. There is no limitation whatsoever. There is no physical element in Torah. And therefore it's contrary. And with this also, we can understand the final Gemara we mentioned. The Gemara mentions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein ani v'hu yochel ledor be'elam echot. I and he cannot live in the same place. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the arrogant. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is totally abstract of any physical quality. And if the power of arrogance comes from a physical quality, then these are totally contrary. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says both of us cannot live together, because the arrogant is totally contrary of my essence. The Gemara in Masechta Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph states as follows. Omer Rabbi Yechanan said, Bechol mokum shatem meitzi gdulosi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shom atem meitzi anveson nusay. Wherever you find written the greatness of Hashem, there you will find His humility written. He says this is written in the Torah, it's written a second time in the Nevi'im and the Prophets, and it's written a third time in the Ksuvim. And he lists off all the places. For example, states, Ki Hashem elakechem u'elakei elokim, ba'adoni adoni, okel ha'godol ha'gibo v'aneira, she'yisoponu v'leikach she'echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest of all of the gods. And He's the greatest of all of the rulers. And He is great, and He is mighty, and He is strong. And He accepts bribes from no one. And immediately after it states, Eisev mishpot yosem ve'almona. He judges, He takes up the judgment for the orphan, for the widow. Eiv ger loses leilechem v'simlo. And He loves the convert to give him bread and clothing. Now, this is something which is not typical, because mighty rulers have very important things to do and they have very busy schedules. They're dealing in matters of international crisis. They're dealing in politics which can affect millions of people. Brands. And which can affect many, many nations and many wars. So mighty rulers do not have time to deal with the orphan and to deal with the widow and to deal with the convert. Therefore, Rabbi Yechanan said, Kol mokum sh'atav meitzik dulosi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you see the Torah writes of His greatness, shom atav meitzi anvesonusay, there you will find His humility. And then this is written a second time and it's written a third time. Now a question can be asked here. The Maral asks a very good question. What does it mean, Bechol Mokum? Wherever you find the greatness of the Almighty, there you find His humility. Why wherever you find? And secondly, why did the Torah find it necessary to tell us this in three different places? In the Torah and in the Prophets and the Ksuvim. One would have been sufficient. You want to tell us that even though He's such a great ruler, He also has time. You write it once and we'll know. Why? Three times, and the whole mokum, wherever you find the greatness, There you find the humility. So he tells us something, a great insight. You can ask another question. What does it mean, humility, by the Almighty? How is it possible for the Almighty to have humility? It's possible for a man to have humility because instead of holding himself above other people, he should become a bit, he should subject himself. See? He should become a bit humble. But who should HaKadosh Baruch Hu become humble to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hold himself above other people. Who should he become humble to? Now the answer is not what we said before. The quality of arrogance is that of limitation, of limiting oneself, of restricting oneself. The quality of the Almighty, he has no limitation in himself. There is no restriction. When you take a person who doesn't have time to deal with the orphan, doesn't have time to deal with the widow, why? We're not speaking about someone who physically doesn't have time. See? Not speaking about that. We're speaking about someone who doesn't consider it so important. You take your typical nobility, the aristocracy. They spent a lot of time at their parties. They spent a lot of time with their horses. They spent a lot of time with their hunts. And they didn't have time for the lower class. They didn't have time for the widow or the orphan. See, this is what we're speaking about. Now, is this a greatness in them? This is a limitation in them. Because they couldn't identify. They had elevated themselves above the other classes to the point where no longer could they identify with these people. They couldn't identify, they didn't want to identify. So they thought that this was a greatness. The Gavalev thinks this is a greatness because I have more important things to do. But really, this is a smallness because he's not capable of identifying with everyone. He has limited himself. The Almighty HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no limitations in him. He can identify with everyone. He has time for everyone. So when the Gemara tells us that wherever you find the greatness of the Almighty is Shom Atamaitzi Anvesanuse, there you find his humility. What Rabbi Yechanan is telling us, that is the greatest greatness. Wherever the Torah wants to tell us how great he is the Odein Adonim. He is the Lord over all lords. He is the Melech HaMalochim. He is the King over all kings. But he's even greater. He's even greater than the King of all kings. He's even more powerful than the Lord of all lords. Because he's Eisem Mishpat Yosem Be'almona. Because he takes time out to judge the poor, to judge the orphan, to take care of the widow, to give lechem v'simlo, to give clothing and garment, clothing and bread to the convent. There is no limitation whatsoever in his greatness. He can wage a war in the entire world. He can speak with kings of the world, and at the same time he can take up judgment for the widow and for the poor. That's why it states Kol Mokin, that wherever you find his greatness, there you will find his humility, because this is Eila Al HaKol, this is his greatest greatness. Otherwise there would be a limitation. This is a very great insight. And the Gemara in Seita tells us, the Gemara says like this, Vezdaka ushval ruach. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I take care of the daka ushval ruach, the poor and the humble. So what does it mean? Does it mean, the Gemara says, es dako ushval ruach? How do I take care of the humble and the poor? Does it mean I bring them up to me? I lift them out. Like we say in Halo Me Ashpeis, Yorim Evyoin, I lift them out of their depths and bring them up to me. Is that what it means? Or maybe it means iti dako. Not I lift them up to me. It means more than that. I go down to them. Iti dako. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, es dako ushval ruach, that I care for the poor and the humble. Does it mean that I lift them up to me, or I go down to them? So the Gemara says, Mistavre kemandi omar ani es dako. Mistavre, like the one who says, I go down to them. It's very something very important that we must all learn from. Firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps everyone, even the poor, and even those who might be insignificant, and the widow, and the orphan, and the convert, the ger. He's not too busy for anyone. But secondly, when he helps them, not that he lifts them up to himself, he goes down to them. How do we know this? So the Gemara brings a proof. Shari HaKadosh Baruch Hu heniach kol horim v'gveis v'hishresh kinose al har Sinai v'lei gova har Sinai l'malo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah, he gave Torah on the smallest mountain. He should have taken that mountain and lifted it up to the heavens. Instead, it states, v'yered Hashem al ahor, he went down to the mountain. Or, when he came to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Klal Yisrael were in Tzoris, they were having Yisurim, they were enslaved in Egypt with tremendous affliction. Kodesh Baruch Hu therefore wanted to dwell in the bush, in the burning bush. Imei Anechi Betzora said, if they're having affliction, I also want to be uncomfortable. But he should have taken the bush and lifted it up. Instead, he went down to the bush. Omar Rav Yosef le'aylam yilmaid odom midas kenei. Rav Yosef says this is something we must learn from. A person must always learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu heniach kol horim v'gveis v'hishresh kinose al har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left all of the high places and he went down. Therefore, it means not that he lifts up the poor to himself, but he goes down to the poor. Now, this is what we were referring to before. Someone who is arrogant, he might think he's very important, and he might think he's very great. He doesn't realize that he's very small. It's because he cannot identify with others, or will not identify with others, or others are too low for him. He has become very, very small. He's limited himself. The great person is the one who has time for everyone. The great person is the one who has a heart that's big enough for everyone. Not everyone has that. The great person is the one who's sensitive to everyone's feelings. He's not only sensitive to the feelings of the important people, he's sensitive to the feelings of the unimportant people also. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the greatest greatness in a person. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That while he's doing the most important things in the entire universe, he's also not closing his eyes at the same time with the same importance and priority. He's taking care of the humble and the poor. And he goes down to them. And that's why the Bi'eichnan said, Kol Mokum, wherever you see his greatness is mentioned, there you see Avnanosus. Why? Because if it wasn't mentioned there, that would be a shortcoming in his greatness. That's the totality of his greatness. It's a very, very deep concept. And this is what we must learn from. Now, we're not referring, sometimes you hear a person comes with a complaint that I belong to a shul And my rabbi didn't have time to come visit me. I'm not important. He only goes to visit the important people. Meanwhile, the rabbi has a congregation of 2,000 people. And physically, he didn't have time. We're not speaking about someone who cannot emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu because physically he can't do it. The Gemara says, Eisik b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. If you're doing one mitzvah, you're poter from another. You can't do 1,000 things at one time. That's not arrogance. The arrogance we're speaking about is when a person doesn't take care of these things because I have more important things to do. Doesn't consider them important. Not that physically he cannot. Like you had with your nobility and your aristocracy, that they had more important things to do. Where they would spend their days in the baths of Rome or in the arenas of Rome or the English class that had more important things to do with their hunt in the turf. Or unfortunately, we find this also. Unfortunately, even in our own nation, this is what we're referring to. And this is a very, very important halacha to remember. To this we can bring a Rambam, a very classical Rambam. The Rambam writes at the end of Perek Yud of Hilchos Melachim, he writes, if a non-Jew lives in Eretz Yisrael and he keeps the mitzvahs that he has to, the 7 mitzvahs that a non-Jew is commanded of, then this is what is called the Ger Teshuv, and we are obligated to treat him in an upright manner. And we're obligated to do chesed to him, to be kind to him, and to help him. Mitzuvin lach yesem. As it states, leger asher bishorecho tinen v'acholo. That you should give to the ger asher bishorecho. This is not referring to a convert, this is referring to a goy who lives in Eretz Yisrael and he keeps the 7 mitzvahs. Then he brings many places. The Chazal say that when it comes to a goy, you're not supposed to treat them with shalom, with peace. He says that's referring to an akum, that's referring to an idolater. That's referring to someone who denies the existence of the Almighty or serves idols. That's a different story. Then he writes, afilo akum, he says, but even when it comes to a goy and akum, even when it comes to an idolater, still the Chachomim commanded that we should levak el chaylehem, we should visit their sick, leak for Messiah, we may say Israel. We should go to their funerals. Israel. And also, we should give them tzedakah. If they come and ask, we must give them tzedakah. We must help them also. Why? Why? Here you have, we can understand if it's a non-Jew and he keeps his mitzvahs. All right, we understand. But here you have an idolater. A non-Jew, an idolater. Why should we do this? So he says, because of ways of peace. Now many learn, what does it mean, darkei sholem, ways of peace? In order that there should be peaceful coexistence, there shouldn't be machlekes, there shouldn't be dissension. If we live amongst goyim, even though they're not such righteous goyim, if they'll see that we give tzedakah to our own and not to them, we visit our own sick and not their sick, there'll be dissension. But Rambam doesn't learn that way. He says, no, that's not the pshat. That's not what it means, darkei sholem. He says, darkei sholem means to emulate the quality of sholem in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Darkei sholem means because of ways of peace, a Jew is obligated to emulate the qualities of the Almighty. And the midah, the quality of Sholem in the Almighty, encompasses everyone. Harei ne'amar tov Hashem lakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to everyone. Verachamav al kol ma'asov. And he has compassion on all of his ma'asim, on all of his creations. And we're obligated to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, if they're living, if it's a time when we have law enforcement and we can stop them from doing Avedas, we must stop them. But we're speaking where we can't. Then we must be peaceful towards them. And we must be good towards them. Why? Because we're obligated to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by HaKadosh Baruch Hu it says, Tev Hashem Lakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to everyone. Verachem of HaKol Masov. He's compassionate to everyone. And that's the midah we must follow. That's what it means, the Rambam says, when the Gemara says, Darkei Sholem. Because of ways of peace. Now this is very similar to what we're speaking about. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not exclude anyone. His greatness is so great, and his compassion is so great, where no one is excluded. And this is the greatness. His anasonusai, this humility, is his greatest greatness. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan said, wherever you find his greatness, you'll always find his humility written there, because this is a new degree, a greater degree in his greatness. According to this, someone who is arrogant, not only is he transgressing a negative commandment, but he's contrary to the Almighty. Therefore the Almighty says we can't live in the same world. Someone who's humble, Shlema HaMelech said that someone who is humble, he said, Ekef onof yiras Hashem, Eishe v'kovid b'chay. The humble person on his heels follows the fear of Hashem, and he'll have wealth and honor and life, because he comes very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah. This is his quality. Now when we read the Psukim, the Torah told us that when you'll come into Eretz Yisrael and you'll have homes, beautiful homes, and you'll have silver and gold, yirbam yayid, much silver and gold, and you'll have wonderful food. There the Torah told us, Tishom lecho, be careful. Varom levavcho, because you will become arrogant. Now why? This has to do with what we were speaking before. A danger point, a very great danger point. People think that poverty is the worst thing, and they all want wealth. David HaMelech was mispalel. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't make me poor, lest I shall be forced to steal. But he was also mispalel, don't make me wealthy. He despised wealth. Why? Lest rom levovcha, I will become arrogant over my brethren. People should not think that poverty is necessarily a curse. Wealth also carries with it great curses and great challenges. This whole parsha here is speaking only after we come into Eretz Yisrael, and after we have beautiful homes, and after we have kesev ezov, gold and silver and herds of cattle and sheep. Then the Torah said, Yishom elecho, be careful, because wealth brings a person to arrogance, and arrogance brings a person to forgetting who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, who his master is. And David HaMelech was mispalel. He said, do not make me wealthy, lest I will become arrogant over my brethren. And Rashi brings later in the Sedra, we have the second parsha of Krishma. So there also it states, V'nasati metar atzichem bi'ito, I will give you rain in your land, you will gather your crops, you will have everything, V'yachalta v'shavoto, and you will eat and you will be satisfied. Hishomru lochem, guard yourselves, pen yifte levavachem, lest you will be enticed and you will go and serve other gods. So Rashi tells us a very important principle from the Chazal. He says, Kiven shetiyachli musveim, since you will be eating and drinking so well, hishomru lachem, be careful, shelaitivatu, that you shall not rebel. Shein odem merid ba'akorish borhu elemiteik sfiyah. A person does not rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu only when he's satisfied. When he's satisfied, he rebels. When he's hungry, he doesn't rebel. And then he brings the psukim, arpsukim. Brings arpsukim. You know, people say, sociologists say, hungry people don't commit suicide. This is what sociologists say. You never find hungry people committing suicide because they're too busy trying to find work to fill their stomachs with. You find the people who have a lot to eat, they are the ones. Now there's also a very great lesson here. Firstly, this is linked to what we said before, that you see that arrogance is linked to the physical world, to physical indulgence. But secondly, this is something which is a great shortcoming in our generation, in the last two generations. We saw the Jews who didn't have much. They were good Jews, and they served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they became great in Torah. When they came to other lands in Europe, where they became wealthy, no longer did they have time to study Torah. No longer did they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they came to America or other such lands, they forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sociologists write that in this last generation that so much went wrong. The rebellion of the youth, the age of permissiveness, whatever you want to call it, the age of promiscuity, whatever you want to call it. Sociologists write that it was not from the lower class. The problems, and they have statistics on it, the problems were from the upper middle class and upward. And the worst problems came about at the campuses. And in the best of the campuses, where they had basically upper middle class. Recently it was written, a survey was taken with this tremendous venereal diseases, Hashem Yerachim, that's going around America and other places today, which is the results of this last upheaval, where statistics show, they published this, that it was basically upper middle class and wealthy, not the poor. The poor were too busy. I remember when I was in school and the generation was becoming a bit more affluent to the point where it used to be that if there was one car, one automobile in a family, that was really something. Many, many families didn't have an automobile. You walked or you took the bus. But then the thing started where the affluent started even to have their own automobile. The kids had their own. So I remember once there was a football game, and after the football game there seemed to be somewhat of a hassle that and a ruckus that broke out, and I guess one side was very dissatisfied with the other, so they took their cars and purposely they started to drive into other cars. They took their cars and started to drive into other cars to show their dissatisfaction. So I remember one of my teachers telling us, he was saying that this would be unbelievable, he said, 10 or 20 years ago. He says, to take your car and to damage it in order to damage someone else. He says, do you know what it was, an automobile? You know what it meant? He said on himself, he says, we never had such things that we could afford such luxuries. And we were too busy. And it was starting then. And we meet all the time people. You meet many times a wealthy Jew, who's a very good man, a very good man. He's sensitive to everyone's needs. And then they'll tell you, he was once poor. He remembers when he was once poor. This happens consistently. I'm not just giving you specific cases or from my own experience. And then you meet that person's son. Or the father himself will tell you on his son, you know, I cannot teach my son these principles that I have learned. I try, but I can't give it over to him. Because the son was born with a golden spoon in his mouth. How can he be sensitive to other people's needs when he had never had any needs? Whatever he wanted, he had. If it was one automobile, two automobiles, three automobiles, if he wanted to travel around the world, whatever he wanted, there was always money for it. How could he be sensitive to other people's needs? And the fathers will tell you themselves, I cannot instill in him the principles that my father instilled in me. And we don't realize the great injustice that we're doing to the generation. A person rebels when he's satisfied, not when he's hungry. People today who are on the campuses with a world of time on their hands were not long ago, many, many people couldn't go to university. And those that did worked their way through university. Recently met, not long ago, a very great specialist. And he became a specialist in one field by taking care of books at night or on Sundays to work his way through. Now this doesn't go back 100 years ago, not too long ago. This was common. And that's what sociologists are learning today. They were too busy for these things. And what we don't realize, though, we don't realize the great injustice that we do to our children. Our intention is to be good to them, but we are helping to destroy them. I was in America a year ago, and I had an opportunity to be with someone who was, we would call poor, a young boy. And I found myself saying to myself, Baruch Hashem, a poor boy. You should have seen this young man. A minute to him was the greatest gift. 1 minute, a half hour. What he could do with it, he could go earn a few dollars. He could pay his way, he could buy something that he needed with it. He could save up for university. And time, that's the greatest gift, the Chofetz Chaim writes. Chofetz Chaim wrote when he visited America, or he heard from America, he heard or he visited, he said that he heard a new thing there. He says, in America they say time is money. He says, I say that money is time. And time is life. That you see youth squander money and time. It means nothing to them. We're not talking about an hour. We're not talking about a day to take months or 6 months or a year or 2 years to do some traveling. To do this, to do that. And then we're wondering, we cannot instill the principles that our parents instilled in us, because our parents had different principles. Someone once said something very good. He says, we want to give our children everything that we didn't have, but in the meantime, everything that we did have, we're not giving them. Very good. And that's why the Torah said, here it came and said, the greatest work, the greatest bracha that a person can have is work. That's the greatest bracha, the Gemara says, that's given to a person. We take that away from our youth. We make it impossible for them to do any work. And that's what our Chachomim said, related to arrogance. And they were referring then to the Roman Empire. The Rabbonis was the nobility who looked down on work because they stole the money from the masses. They could have 1,000 slaves or 10,000 slaves. And they looked down. And the English still look down on work. You speak to an Englishman of any letters, he'll tell you they still look down on work. Work was for the common masses. And the Chachomim said, shall hate the aristocracy and love work of the common man. So a tremendous brocha to give to a people. We steal this from our children. We don't let them have the opportunity. And that's why the Torah said, now that you come into Eretz Yisrael, and you'll have beautiful homes. Teichal v'savota, you will eat and be satisfied. Votim teves tim nevi yeshofta, you will have homes, beautiful homes. Bekorcha v'tzeincha yirbeyun, you will have cattle and sheep. And kesev v'zov, and gold and silver. V'rom levavecha. That's the time you must watch out, because that will bring arrogance. And v'shochachta, and you will forget where this all came from. And there Rashi says, from here we learn, she'ne'en onem bayit elemitech hasfiyah. A person becomes dissatisfied. Not from being dissatisfied. A person becomes dissatisfied from too much satisfaction. Because when he's not satisfied, he's too busy trying to get himself satisfied to be dissatisfied. When he is satisfied, then all of a sudden he's got all kinds of problems. It's a very important concept. And there comes the arrogance, which is this prohibition, a negative commandment, the Leisa Sheshabatera, to the Isnasus, to uplift yourself above others, not to want to relate to them. I'm a different type. I haven't time for them. And which we see is a very, very severe Avera. We should be Zeicher to grow in the quality of Anova, in the quality of humbleness and humility, which is the quality of Torah. That just like water seeks to go down, Torah seeks to go down. By those who make themselves low, they will have Torah. The Gemara says, Yizaru b'bnei anim. Be careful with the sons of the poor. Shemehem teitzei Torah. Because they are the great candidates to become the Chachmei Hashas, the wise of the Torah. We should be zeicher to emulate this midah of the Torah and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.